Maybe you're driving home right now for the 4th of July, but some people never leave home, even when nature seems to be pushing them out. Jake Halpern has written about people like this in his book, Braving Home, Dispatches from the Underwater Town, the Lavaside Inn, and Other Extreme Locales. This evening, Jake takes us on a radio visit to one such man who won't budge from his home.
The Big Island of Hawaii is home to Kilauea, the world's most active volcano. The base of Kilauea is a vast, smoldering wasteland. The only relief from this hellish landscape is a lonely 600-acre clump of trees surrounded on all sides by miles of molten lava. Recently, I visited 62-year-old Chuck Humphreys, who actually lives here. Today, Chuck has just returned from his weekly grocery run, which he makes across the lava on his motorcycle. So how does he do this?
You just pick your way through the lava as best you can with your bike. It still takes about an hour. It's really treacherous to find your way across, and it's constantly changing with this flow moving. The way I go out may not be the way I come in. It's full of cracks and places where the lava has popped and made big mountains. One time I did go down and take a big chunk of my knee out. When you fall on the lava, it's like falling on razor blades. So I kind of rigged up a little deal with shin guards and elbow guards, just like roller bladers do.
Now, Chuck, when you're driving across the flats and you actually see an area of molten lava, of red kind of fiery substance that oozes out, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, right where it's oozing, of course, you have to avoid it. The important thing there is scouting where it turns cold again, because you don't want to get caught on the hot lava long enough to melt your tires, which it will do.
Currently, Chuck and I are on a lava scouting mission. In the distance, we see smoke and can hear a faint popping, the sound of trees exploding. This means a new outbreak of lava has infiltrated the island. The only question is where. Often the best way to find new outbreaks is to follow the tourist helicopters that constantly hover overhead.
Is that where they're hovering? Maybe that's where the lava is.
Do you want to try to hike up that way?
Yeah, I was thinking at least going up to this hill and looking over.
Okay.
During the day, you can't really tell that there's active lava out there in front of us because it just all looks more or less black. But at night, the hot lava is glowing orange, and we've got a recent flow out there now that's kind of cutting through the woods up above us. And we do have to keep our eye on something like that. And this particular one we are watching. I have to hop on my bike and go up the top of the lava flow every evening and check where the smoke is coming out of the trees. When there's an active flow in the area, we patrol and keep our eye on it as best we could. We're not going to get caught off guard, hopefully.
After an hour of scouting, Chuck concludes that his kipuka is safe. Kipuka is the Hawaiian word for an island of greenery encircled by molten lava. Chuck's kipuka was once an ordinary suburban development called Royal Gardens, that is, until Kilauea erupted and surrounded the place with lava. Nowadays, Royal Gardens has a post-apocalyptic look, with grass-covered streets, rusting cars, and wild boars trotting about. Chuck says the absence of neighbors doesn't bother him.
One of the true beauties of this place is the isolation. When I go out, I like to go out in the evening and ride my quad around on the roads and stuff and feel the wind in my face and run the stop signs and scream at the top of my lungs, and there's just nobody here that cares or nobody looking over my shoulder. And it's a freedom that not a lot of people get to enjoy.
Eventually, Chuck leads me away from the lava and into the lush jungle of the Kapuka. Here we find his home, an open-air treehouse that he refers to as his studio. For years, this treehouse was Chuck's getaway. Then, about 10 years ago, the lava came. Soon afterwards, Chuck's wife left him. Together, these events prompted Chuck to try and make a new life for himself here on the Kipuka.
I bought my place when I first came to Hawaii, so I've had it for a long time, and it's hard to let that go. I don't have any place more beautiful to go live, so I'm going to hang here to the last. This is an excellent place. It amazes me that this place isn't crawling with artists and novelists and people who want to get away from it all. It's nice. You look out, you can see hawks circling, and
I have a lot of cardinals and redbirds around my place, and I have the ocean view, and I can concentrate on my work and let the rest of the world fall away.
The work that Chuck speaks of is songwriting. Technically, Chuck is retired, and this allows him to live off a modest pension and work full-time on his songs. Many of Chuck's songs are odes to Kalapana, the nearby seaside town where he once lived with his wife, until 1990, when it was buried with lava. As Chuck reminisces about Kalapana, he spontaneously breaks into verse.
I remember strolling hand in hand. I remember miles of warm black sand. Rest of it's gone, but it ends up being, and it's all just black lava now. Kalapana was a very special place down along the Puna coastline in Hawaii. The aloha spirit was alive in Kalapana. That sums it up about the best. There was a lot of love in that little town. When the lava came, everybody had to move, and of course, not everybody moved to the same place, so we're all split up now, and it's...
Chuck, where exactly is Kalapana from here?
Well, the view from my studio looks out towards the ocean, and I can see where Kalapana used to be. It's just all lava now, and it's kind of heartbreaking to look out and remember what it used to be, and to see that it's more or less a parking lot now. But it is an inspiration, too. I don't want you to think that I'm crying over past times. I mean, it was something beautiful that happened, and now it's gone, and what I'm doing now is something different.
As Chuck and I continue to chat, dusk arrives, and the lava begins to emit a deep, fiery glow. Then Chuck seems to forget himself, and once again he breaks into verse, finishing his song.
So I tried to pretend that my world didn't really end. And I know I must let it go somehow. And it's all just black lava now.
Our Braving Home series is produced by Jake Halpern and Ted Gessing. To see pictures of Chuck Humphreys and the other people profiled in our series, go to our website, npr.org.